As I think about this morning, an opportunity to share with you a message of thanksgiving from God's Word, hopefully to stir up in the hearts of God's people, to offer testimonies of praise and appreciation and adoration. I was brought to the testimony of one of our own newer members, Norm Hansen, sitting back there. And he has provided, as many of you have also noted and seen, such a wonderful, wonderful testimony, such a powerful example during his battle with stage 4 cancer. He's here Sunday after Sunday with a smile on his face, even when there's a tear in his eye. To those of us who know and love Norm and Carol, it is obvious to us that the joy of the Lord is their strength. So we thank you, friends, for modeling for us 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, and the passage of Scripture where we're going to return to for a moment here this morning, Psalm 100. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 summons Christians to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and the phrase that I want us to consider this morning, to give thanks in all circumstances. To give thanks in all circumstances. Now, if we're being honest, we would acknowledge that is sometimes easier said than done. Norm has also shown to us that it is always fitting for the godly ones of the Lord to praise his name. So it doesn't matter what's happening or not happening. Talk to one of you in the midst of a spiritual battle with one of your children. Some of you, like Norm, are fighting something serious, physically speaking, like cancer. Others of you are welcoming new children into your family. Just this last week, we had a second opportunity in the sanctuary now to have a wedding. But whatever may be happening or not happening, the Bible says that in every circumstances that we have cause and reason to thank God. You say, well, why is it always fitting for the righteous to praise the Lord? And the answer is because our worship is ultimately grounded in the unchanging character of God. See, our praise, our thanks is rooted in Him. And God never changes. And that is the main point of this morning's Thanksgiving devotional. And I say devotional because historically on Thanksgiving Sunday, our normal in-depth exposition is condensed. The only Sunday of the year. It is condensed to provide time for you, the people of God, to share testimonies of praise and thanksgiving. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to set the table. I want to set the table for the testimonies of thanksgiving that will be shared after this message by some of you. And I also want to do so for the fellowship that we're going to have around the table and an amazing 5-course feast. That for those of you who don't have an opportunity in this hour to share with the whole congregation, that you will consider at your table today speaking to those around you, whether you know them well or not, if you belong to Him, that you will testify to the faithfulness of God and that you will offer Him thanks. And you'll tell people at your table what it is, as you look back on this last year, specifically things that you are grateful for. So last Sunday, we considered what is referred to as the Old 100th. And we saw the psalmist in this inspired song summons the congregation to a sevenfold summons of praise and worship. There is a sevenfold summons to praise and Christian thanksgiving provided in the first four verses. That's what we considered last Sunday. This morning, I want us to briefly highlight, secondly, the theological basis of exuberant worship and lavish thanksgiving. I want us to consider the causes and theological basis of Christian thanksgiving. Again, some of you may be saying, well, you know, I'm not experiencing some of the things that other people are experiencing. I didn't just buy a new home. I didn't just have a new grandchild born to us. I didn't just celebrate a wedding celebration. Matter of fact, I've had funerals that have been what have been on my calendar this past year. But for all of us, again, regardless of what we are going through, if we realize that the basis, the root of our joy and of our worship and of our thanksgiving, if we note that it is grounded in the unchanging character of God, then we will find ourselves being able to participate in that which the Lord sets forth for his people here in Psalm 100. The more we know about God, both objectively and experimentally, the more we come to find that everything that the Bible says about him is true. It is objectively true because the Bible says so, and we know experientially that we find that everything the Bible says is true because our life experience bears witness to it when we're walking by faith. That the more we come to know about God and the more we come to know God, the more we have in our hearts just a resounding desire to praise his holy name. So everybody that will share a testimony this morning will acknowledge these three things. This is the theological basis or the causes of lavish thanksgiving. Number one, all of God's people can surely say with the psalmist that the Lord is supremely charitable. Why are you so excited today? Because we know and believe and have experienced this, that the Lord is supremely charitable. Notice verse 5. For the Lord is good. So what are we to do? That was last week's message. Shout joyfully, verse 1. Serve the Lord gladly. Come before him with joyful singing as we have done. Realize that the Lord himself is God and God alone. And that he is our creator and that he is our shepherd ruler. Don't wait to have your heart prepared to worship. Come prepared to offer him as you get into his gates, enter into his gates, verse 4, that you would come with joy and thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. We are summoned, sixthly, there in the middle of verse 4, to give thanks to him. And seventhly, we are called to bless his name. What is the cause of our joy? What is the basis of our thanksgiving? Verse 5, first of all, we know and have experienced because the Lord is good. I love how one commentator explains this verse. He writes, "To speak of God as good is to affirm that the Lord of Israel is the source of all that makes life possible and worthwhile. It is an all-encompassing attribute that catches everything positive that human beings receive in life and often is experienced specifically in God's deliverance of persons from distress." Our God is supremely beneficent. It's a word that we don't often use. It's another adjective. It's another synonym that sums up that the Lord is supremely charitable, that we say that God is supremely beneficent. And that word may be more readily understood by us because we note that there is a movie that has been made where the villain, the movie is Maleficent. That is somebody who is diabolical and devilish. Beneficent is the opposite of maleficent, and that is who God is. And that is how God has manifested himself according to his nature and character. He has proven to us this past year, if we just stop and slow down long enough to consider the last year, the year that was, and everything that we have in him. Surely we will join the psalmist in grounding our praise and our thanksgiving, acknowledging that this attribute of God that was on display to the people of God when they sang this song so long ago when they entered the temple is also the source of our song, the basis of our joy, the cause of our thanksgiving. The Bible tells us, Psalm 119, verse 68, O worship the Lord, for the Lord is good, and he does what is good. Think of a message preached by a godly man. He had the need to preach a funeral message for his beloved wife. He happened to be the pastor of the church, and he desired with God's help to give the memorial message. He had a two-point message. Number one, he called God's people to praise God and to give him thanks for this precious one that he had given him, and he said, number one, the Lord is good. And the second point was, and he does what is good. And so he rested in the charity of God, trusting him, even in that difficult season of his life. Church, it is good for us to remind ourselves and to remind one another of just how good and charitable our Lord and Savior is. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we've done in song. That's what we're doing through the preaching. That's what we're going to do with the testimonies. And hopefully that's what we'll continue to do as we gather around various tables this morning and celebrate Thanksgiving. Just how good is God? Well, it is hard to sum up in words. And some of you are saying, well, I'm struggling to be grateful. I'm struggling to be joyful. I'm struggling to be thankful. You say, my life doesn't really manifest what you're speaking of here, that the God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of my parents, is supremely charitable. Think about a parent's common reaction when a child says, in a meal that we're about to have, or in a special meal that's being made, you know, they say, I don't want to eat that food. Why? Because I don't like it. I mean, if we had a dollar for every time that was said, and every time we said it, we would be able to pay for our children's college education. And a parent's common reaction to this childish dietary indifference is just, try a bite or two. See if you like it. Because most of the time when somebody says that, they haven't ever even tried it. And our parents say to us, you know, you won't know if you like it if you never take a bite. What does that have to do with this morning? Well, I realize in a sanctuary full like this that there are some out there who are not yet who have not yet come to the Lord Jesus Christ on his terms and repented. That not everybody in this room is a Christian. And if you're not a believer, as you listen to the testimonies of praise and thanksgiving this morning, I have one question for you. What are you waiting for? You will not experience God's supreme goodness if you refuse to receive his Son, Jesus Christ. If you will not bow the knee, if you will not receive the greatest gift of them all, you will not know the fullest measure of God's supreme charity and kindness. Psalm 34, verse 8 says to us, don't just look and observe. Psalm 34, 8 says, oh, taste and see. How do you know? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then it says this, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And so you will hear this gospel refrain over and over again. People will be testifying about different things, but it's going to be grounded in the unchanging nature of God. This we see here, that the Lord is supremely charitable. And because he is, and because our lives bear witness to this as believers, then naturally what flows out of our heart is to do the things that we have been summoned to do here in the first four verses of Psalm 100. I want you to notice, second of all, that a believer's exuberant worship is based, secondly, in the reality that the Lord's loyal love is forever. Not only is the Lord supremely charitable, but secondly, the Lord's loyal love is forever. The steadfast love of the Lord endures. That's the word. It endures. It goes on. It's not just something that we experienced in the moment of our conversion. It wasn't just something that this church experienced 21 years ago when it was birthed, but it is still the experience of the people of God today. That the Lord's loyal love endures forever. And what a word of encouragement that is to us, because so much around us changes. Friend, our earthly circumstances may change. Our job situation may change. For some of you, it's different this year than it was last year. Our pastoral staff may change. Our congregation may change. Our living situation may change. But the Lord's loyal love for his own, look at verse 5. His loving kindness, his steadfast love, those are all good translations of that word hesed. His loving kindness is everlasting. See, what was the testimony of God's people for 20 years here at Lake Country Bible Church? The specific things that are mentioned may be a little bit different, but the one to whom we're offering praises to, the basis of this joy and this hope and this thanksgiving, hasn't changed a bit. Because God's steadfast love for Lake Country Bible Church and for you, if you belong to him, was as present in 2019 as it's ever been. I mean, we look back on what this last year has brought to our church family. Baby showers at long last. May they increase. Weddings, spiritual, numerical, financial growth, so many things all point back to this attribute of God, that the Lord and his loyal love for his people endures forever. We think of Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Here, the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, declares this. The steadfast love of the Lord, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Here is Jeremiah singing, even in songs of lament, testifying of God's covenant love, even as Jerusalem is burning to the ground in cataclysmic judgment. And still, by faith, He says, we have cause for hope and even the giving of thanks because the Lord's steadfast love never ceases, not even in the backdrop of judgment. His mercies never come to an end. Truly, they are new every morning. Jeremiah understood that prophesied judgment does not cancel out unconditional covenant promises. And here in Psalm 100, the psalmist reminds us that the loyal love of God for his people is rooted in his gracious character. So the cause of our thanksgiving and the theological basis of our exuberant worship comes back to the unchanging character of God. For the Lord is good, amen, and his loving kindness is everlasting. And of course, we cannot talk about God's loyal love, his steadfast love, his enduring love, his covenant love, without thinking about the cross of Jesus. For it was there at Calvary where the greatest demonstration of God's love was manifested for sinful people. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 through verse 10 puts it like this. This is the love of God that you have personally experienced if you're a Christian. 1 John 4, 8 through 10. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. So here is the clearest demonstration of the reality that God loves us. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Church, in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I think the song that was sung most exuberantly today was Jesus, Thank You. And I believe the reason for that is because this is a congregation of redeemed sinners who came here today to offer thanks to God. And the greatest gift of them, the greatest gift of all, the indescribable gift, is that of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless one for sinners, God becoming man, living a perfect life, bearing our sins on his sinless shoulders, bearing the wrath of God, experiencing in some mysterious way alienation from his Father, condemned in our place he stood, pierced, crucified, rejected, all of it done so that we could have access to God, that we could have again fellowship with God through him who loved us so. The theological basis for exuberant worship and lavish thanksgiving is rooted, first of all, in the Lord's supreme charity and goodness, secondly, in the Lord's enduring loving kindness, and finally, number three, in the Lord's covenant-keeping faithfulness to fulfill all his promises. Thirdly, our thanksgiving and worship is grounded in the Lord's covenant-keeping faithfulness to fulfill all of his many promises. Again, there's going to be different people, different age groups, some who have been here a short period of time in the church, some have been here for a long period of time, but all of these testimonies that will be shared this morning will acknowledge directly or indirectly that the great Jehovah is always reliable. You can always count on God to be faithful to his name, to his character and his nature. Things change. God changes not. And so as we are summoned to worship with exuberance and to offer lavish thanksgiving. Notice the end of verse 5. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And this morning we will testify with the believing Jews that his faithfulness is to all generations. The great Jehovah, our great Jehovah, is always reliable. Now that is a benefit and a blessing that is hard to capture with any human description. So this is what that means by implication. That no matter what next year brings, no matter who wins the presidential election, no matter what celebrity church leader falls away, we can count on God to be true to his holy character. His faithfulness is to all generations. This morning, we have the opportunity to immediately apply the sevenfold summons to worship and thanksgiving, as recorded in Psalm 100. Let's remind ourselves of what God is calling us to do, beckoning us to do, commanding us to do, and then let's do it. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Some aren't in this room because they're doing this, serving the Lord with gladness, preparing for the Thanksgiving meal. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. And it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his holy name. We must cheerfully shout and gladly serve and enthusiastically approach and exclusively honor and gratefully enter into his presence to, listen, to personally thank the Lord for, here's the basis, here's the causes, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Christian, take comfort in this great psalm because the Lord never ceases to deal with us this way. He never ceases to deal with us this way. Said differently, thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this call to worship and thanksgiving. Lord, it is grounded in your unchanging character, and we cannot wait now to hear people testify. As we look back on the year that was, and as we look at the year to come, Lord, with hope and with joy and with great thanksgiving, Father, because you changeth not. And Lord, what comfort and peace that gives to us. Lord, may we not only enter your courts with thanksgiving, but may we leave it with even greater measure of thanksgiving. Because we're going to hear testimonies, Lord, that will be additional things that we can have our hearts stocked full of reasons to praise your name. May we be known as the most grateful people on the planet. Lord, for who has received the benefits and blessings that we have poured out so undeservedly but bountifully by you, our beneficent God. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, we love you, and today we want to express how grateful and thankful we are. Be pleased as we seek to apply this psalm even now. This we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. There we go. We set the table. So let's do what we do every year. We've got two microphones here. Evan Jones will have one, and Ed Manchester will have one in the back. We'll do it in a somewhat orderly manner. Try to condense down your testimony as much as possible so we can enjoy as many of these as we can. And if you just stand, maybe tell us your name, because we have a lot of new people here this morning. And then offer up your offering of praise and your testimony of thanksgiving to God, as is our tradition. And this, again, will just make us all the more hungry for the meal physically that we're going to enjoy as this special fellowship and family. Who'd like to start us off here this morning? Thank you, Dave, for... Yes, Doug, there we go. Ed? You do, yes, you do. You don't, but you do.
I hope I get through this.
If you wouldn't mind, Doug, tell us who you are, who's with you this morning.
my name is Doug Fury. This is my wife, Judy. I'll get there. Anyway, my wife has got two bad knees. Well, first of all, I want to thank the congregation for all the prayers. It's been overwhelming. Okay. Anyway, let me tell you about prayer. Sure, we pray, but prayer has been answered with my wife and me. At one time, I sat in an ICU room alone. And Carrie Cruz was in that ICU room. And I said, Carrie, why are you here? I mean, isn't there something more fun that you can do? She was there for me. And it was supposed to be a simple surgery to get her ready for a colon surgery. And I was all alone, and the surgeon came out and talked to me on June 4th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And he said, come here, I got to show you something. So we went in this little room, and they opened up my wife's chest, and he showed me this and so on. And he said, you know, she should have had open heart surgery. And I'm having a problem. Then he said to me, I just want to let you know that she may not make it. So I went out of the room and into another room all alone. And I called. People to pray. And at 4:30, this guy opened the door. I never met the guy. And he said, we got a pulse. And the first thing I thought was, you mean you didn't have a pulse? And at 4:45, some people came in and said that she's stable. And at 5 o'clock, they told me that she was off of all this other blood pressure medicine, and if she makes it through the night, we'll take this off. So a nucleus of the church came to that ICU room and prayed.
And there she is. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. We'll bring the mic to you. Ed? Norman, then. Yep.
Hi, good morning. Norm Hansen and my lovely wife, Carol. It was early part of October, diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. But trusting in the Lord, it didn't really bother me. I never knew how I might respond if I was given those words. But with faith in God, He is bringing us through all of this. And we are so happy to be a member of this great church family here at Lake Country Bible Church. People reach out and touch you with prayer and just encouragement. I learned from this. In fact, a friend of mine called me about a month ago, and he said, when we had worked together in Madison, and that was probably 35, 40 years ago, he said, you told me one thing that I've never forgotten. He said, PMA, positive mental attitude. With that and with God, we are walking through this time in our life. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Norman.
For your love.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, His faithfulness to all generations.
My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast, and I will sing and give praise. About a year ago, a little Hunter got sick. In January, they did open heart surgery. His heart was dying. Within a couple months, they gave him exterior hearts. We all thought he was going to die. A couple months after that, they told us there was a heart available. God gave him a new heart, but all of us who prayed for that little one, we had new hearts too. We knew how to pray, and we knew how to wait on God.
Not too long ago, he actually came to my house, and he was laughing and smiling, and we don't know exactly how he's doing right now, but he was doing so much better. We were just amazed with how he had survived through that surgery.
Thank you so much. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and He does good. Thank you. That's Mr. and Mrs. Wolf. Those are Ryan's parents who've been with us now for some months. Yes, Carol.
Hi, Carol Hansen, and I just want to confirm what Norm said. When I received the news, something you don't expect, it was rather overwhelming, but I'm so thankful that the Lord led us to this church. You are family to us, and throughout this ordeal we're going through, I can feel your prayers, and I know that probably sounds weird, but I can actually feel it. It's like a warm embrace. I have peace and comfort, and I'm just so thankful. The Lord is so good. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Great is thy faithfulness, and I didn't know you were going to be here today, Carrie. Tell us what's been going on, especially this last week, and people will realize the blessing it is to have you not only here, but here.
Thank you. My name is Carrie, and 3 weeks ago tomorrow, I went through some pretty serious surgery. And first of all, I'd just like to thank God for my wonderful husband, that in 3 weeks, he's gotten his nursing license. He's been able to just take such good care of me, doing things he probably didn't think he would ever be doing, giving me shots in the stomach, being able to comb the dreadlocks out of my hair after laying on a pillow in the hospital for a week. So I just thank God so much for my husband, Rudy, and also would be totally remiss if I didn't thank God for this wonderful church family as well, from all the texts and the emails and the phone calls and the cards and the flowers and the silk pillowcase that kept my hair from doing any more dreadlocks. The visitors, this church has just been wonderful. And yes, I've needed much prayer over the duration of the 3 weeks, from a blood transfusion to blood clots in my lungs. So yes, those all went out on the prayer chain, and I know that it's the power of prayer, and I just thank God for this wonderful church family.
Thank you, Carrie. We're not really a clapping church, but our hearts are full of joy and thanksgiving today, so the Lord knows we're glorifying him through our applause, as well as our amens. Thank you, Carrie, Rudy. I have heard from a lot of you who've been sick, that constant refrain of spouses, particularly husbands, stepping up and being the exemplary husband. So that encourages even your Sunday school teachers and pastors and elders that we're not laboring not in vain, that you're given an opportunity where that's really going to be most needed, and you've been stepping up, men, by the Spirit's help, and been a great, great example and encouragement to us along the way. Others who'd like to share today, a testimony of thanksgiving. This will give us a little idea of what the last year has been for us. Things we have so many reasons and things to bring to remembrance to offer praise to God. Yep, Dr. Hammer and then Cindy. If you would introduce yourself and your spouse.
I'm Steve Hammer, and this is my very capable wife who has managed to pull off a very wonderful wedding a couple of days ago. And we are so, so thankful. Just so much planning went into it, so much preparation. And our daughter, Kristen, and Bill Harden from the Harden family got married, and we're just so blessed and thankful. So I know some of you, many of you, prayed for them. And so just know that your prayers came to fruition. And we're just totally blessed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Cindy Lindstedt, and I want to read just the first verse from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. I want to especially give thanks for the women's study here, the Joshua study that we are going through, because we are learning about the goodness of God and the steadfast love of God and the covenantal faithfulness of God. How many women here are involved in that study? Just raise your hands. Wonderful. Both Tuesday mornings and Thursday nights. And if you're not involved, you should be. Thank you, Marie, for bringing this study to our church. It has been like a personal revival for me to be going through this study, and I've heard other women say the same thing, because we are learning so much about just these characters of God. And I want to thank the pastoral staff here, the elders, and everybody else who contributes in so many ways to making this church shine for the glory of God. It truly does. And I just have to say one more time, I am more than ever dazzled by God.
Waiting for that book. We don't have any of our college and career teenagers or children want to share anything. You don't have to, but we'd like to give opportunity to the generations of grace. Yep, back here. There we go. If you would introduce yourself for those who haven't had a chance to meet you yet.
Hello. I don't know very many of you here. My name is Alyssa Buckner. I am an Ethnos 360 student. So coming to Ethnos 360, I had planned on going back to Papua New Guinea for Christmas because my parents are missionaries there. And what was it, 8 weeks ago, my mom texted me and told me that I should plan on not going back. And that was really hard. I trusted the Lord in that, and I knew that he had a plan for my life, but I just didn't understand, like, what he was trying to teach me. But about a week and a half ago, my mom texted me again, and somebody had completely, they had offered to completely pay for my plane ticket to go back for Christmas. And I am just so thankful to God for his goodness to me. That I didn't deserve it. I had done nothing to deserve it, but that he was just out of his goodness, that he just chose to do that for me, and I'm very thankful for it.
Thank you so much. We're thankful for the Ethnos students who've been a part of our church. We know it's generally a two-year stint, and then God takes them on to new locations of ministry, some on the mission field, some just in the through the local church. We were praying specifically as leadership that we would get this year Ethnos students that are just see the value and the primacy of the local church as we talked about this summer, and God's answered that prayer with so many being more than just attending a service but being part of our church, and we thank you we thank God for that answer to prayer and the blessing you people are to our congregation. Others, any college and career youth, children, like to testify to the Lord's grace and goodness and faithfulness. The smells were actually even more pronounced on, I think, Thursday. The smoked turkeys, 14 of them. Make sure you take a chance to thank the faithful servants today and throughout the weekend. It's a little bit more work has to go into planning a larger meal, and people do it so well. So, Mike Kane, a kid at heart, and our chairman of the elder board.
Just on behalf of the elders, we made an appeal this year for the financial needs of our church, and I was just, again, amazed at God's grace and generosity of this fellowship. You stepped up, and through that, such generosity, we're be able to provide for the financial needs of our church going forward, and we're so thankful and grateful for that. I my perspective was that God was faithful in providing also the whole Colstead family. You'd be amazed at how many key needs that family as a whole has met in our church, and I'm sure you all see it. Just so grateful for that, too. We're blessed. Thank you.
Or the blessed ones, as you know, so that's the best kept secret. We're so thankful to the whole pastoral staff. Yes.
John 1:3-16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die on the cross.
That's right. Thank you. The greatest cause of our thanksgiving and joy and blessing. Amen. The Lord Jesus. Solomon the Wise. His annual tradition continues.
My name is Solomon Libby. I was adopted into a Christian family. And when I started to know God, I felt like I knew him, but I knew it could see me even if I didn't want it to. But when I came here, I felt like I really knew Christ then.
Oh. Adoption And then spiritual adoption, Solomon, thank you for sharing that. You, in the wedding message, we talked about Thanksgiving, and one of them was the gift of the Hardens and the Hammers Bill and Kristen had in being brought into the Christian family. You're very, very spot on to give God thanks for that, because those who haven't been raised in Christian homes, you know, are somewhat envious of those who had that opportunity and blessing and privilege. Thank you, Solomon.
Hi, I'm Kurt Horner. I'm deacon of service around here. I lost my job in May, suddenly. asked for prayer, and everybody prayed for me. It was great. Job offers, two-thirds of the wage I was making. I got freelance work, so I was making money, but I'm still thinking, man, I really goofed this up. Lord put all kinds of things in front of me. I had a couple of job offers, and like I said, no money, no wage. But I ended up, I had a couple more travel, you know, 30% of the time, travel half the time, so to be away from the church, away from my family, so it was really tough. But I started freelancing for an old company that I used to work for. They gave me a job. I get $8 more a year. Thank you, Lord.
When you have kids going through college and you lose your job, yeah, you would know the burden of that concern would be, and the huge thanks to God for his abundant provision, timely provision. Got time for maybe one more here today? Right over here. New father and mother and baby and mother-in-law, brother-in-law there.
Yes, we are. Wow, that is deep. As everyone knows, yes, we just had a son 3.5 weeks ago, and I do want to give thanks to this God-glorifying church. We came up at the end of May, moved up from Virginia, where we got married in Delaware, and was not sure about a job, did not feel like I had that secure. Came up to Ethnos 360 to attend, which is where we are now. And just want to give thanks for God's provision of a great church, great solid church that has blessed us with gifts and love and abundance. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. All right, so let's continue in these testimonies of Thanksgiving even into the soon-to-be lunch hour. Let me just see here what's next. Congregation praise and testimonies of Thanksgiving followed by offering instructions. Does that sound right? So, in your bulletin today, there was an envelope, a special envelope. So I got to give some clarification here. We're going to take two offerings in one. I think we can do it. This year, our special offering is going to Quiet Corner India, of what you've heard much about in previous weeks and previous years. So if you're planning on giving above and beyond to Quiet Corner India, please use that envelope and put your offering in there, and then put your normal offering just into the offering. Now, do we have ushers for the offering? for the offering? There we go. And I guess we'll pray. God's provided so abundantly, as Mike said. I honestly lack the faith to believe when you guys put a goal with so many new people. You know, I just was not lacking the faith to believe God would provide and provide even abundantly. And he rebuked me and encouraged me. So let's continue in that spirit of thanksgiving as we prepare to give to the Lord here, both for our church and to Quiet Corner. Father, we thank you for just a extra special day to pause and ponder, to reflect on your goodness, your faithfulness, and your love, and to give thanks. Lord, receive back from us now just a generous contribution, but just a portion of what you've entrusted to us as stewards to just express our thanks for your character, for your work of creation, for your work of salvation, for your ongoing work of sanctification, through the gift of the local church, for the family that this congregation is to us and the blessing they provide in helping to build us up in you and us to try to help them when they're down and them lifting us up when we're discouraged. Lord, thank you for the partnership we have with India, specifically with the Samuel family. We just ask that you'd provide for all of our needs, both at the church and especially for the things that are happening and continue to take place there at Quiet Corner. We're thankful for so many faithful servants who go to India and for those who are from India. And just pray that this gift today, Lord, both in the general offering and above and beyond, would just resound to your praise and glory. We desire just to honor you and show our thanks to you in our entire service, including this gift that we offer to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.